and the landowner holding all the paper. In other words, he's feeding them all the time and taking care of them. Well, one crop is over and another crop is on the way.
Yeah.
They have to be in debt. There's no way they can help it because they've been eating, they've been drawing advances each month, waiting for the next crop to get started, because anything they made from the other crop is gone.
Yeah.
So you have to have a lot of debt being piled up just waiting to get started, because these people spend it as fast as they get it, and which is what most people do anyway, but very little saving and very little opportunity to save. I mean, there wasn't a lot of money floating around in anybody's pockets during those days. So they had to be in debt. The levee breaks just about the time they're going to go to work. Well, it would have been absolutely disastrous for this whole country if all these people had gotten out of here. So I think what happened, I think they just wouldn't take them out. They put them up on the levee, they put them everywhere. But if they'd ever gone, and some of them I think maybe went to Vicksburg, but they didn't move the labor force out in just wholesale numbers. Well, the first thing would have happened, the man whose place they moved off of would never see them again, because they're not going to come back to a debt. The easiest thing is just to go someplace else and start over.
Yeah.
And let that debt be canceled out.
That's somebody to think of.
Well, sure. They never would have come back.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been one in 1,000 that came back to the same place, because that's a good way to get out of debt. See? There you get back to a basic honesty now, and it's kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
By anybody, see? Black or white. Most people would have taken the easy road out.
So y'all stayed in the house and you didn't have any...
Well, problems. We stayed. Now, the children, we left. My mother got us on a boat and they allowed my father, they gave him a permit to take us out, but he had to come back. And they knew him and they knew he would come back. See, there's a difference.
When that levee broke, it must have been like the water just came right in.
Well, no, it was real slow, because you had a 30-foot wall of water coming through the levee, but the second it got out, it started spreading. And as I understand it, they say it would start up a street, and of course, water seeks the low places first. And you could stand out there and watch it. It would come up like a street was running this way, and you had curbings over here. It would fill in the ditches or the curbings like this, and then come across and meet. And then it would surge, and it would come up those curbings again, and it would come across. And it just crept. It just crept a little bit at a time.
Huh.
But by, they blew the whistle about midnight. And of course, pandemonium broke loose. They blew set off the fire whistles and the whistles at the compress. And when they said, if the water gets by the protection levee, now they had a small levee around Greenville connecting up the railroad embankments where the railroads came in, and they just connected between the railroads,
yeah.
And this made a barrier, but the water went over that thing just like it wasn't there. It just came up to it and stopped, and then just started rising and got to the top and spilled over. And when he went over the top of that levee, that's when the whistles went off, and that was about 12 o'clock at night. And of course, everybody, they tell me, just really ran for the high ground. And most of them went to the levee, or if they had a two-story house, they'd go to these houses. And that's where we went at first. Then they told the women to get the children out of town because of typhoid and things of this nature.